Kyler Murray had scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
I feel like I haven't heard that intro in like a month. Now, during the summer, that was true. But it's only been a couple of weeks, right? Well, we were both off for the bye week, but we're both here today. Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey. Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub, coming from the Town Fair Tire Studio. How was your bye week, by the way? You went to, what was it, Ole Miss, Alabama? You went to that game
last week. I did. I went to Ole Miss, Alabama. It was great.
Is that your first time there?
First time in the Grove. The only thing was, ironically enough, the weather was warmer here than it was there. They got a cold snap. It was like mid-30s.
Ooh.
And what was it? I think it was like 70 degrees
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah. It was, but, yeah, it was now cool. That's gone. Now
you know, yeah, it's over. It's full-on winter. You know, endless evenings, endless night now. You know, last night it was like 7 o'clock, and I feel like I was saying to myself, I feel like I've been up for 16 hours. It's been dark for like 4 hours.
Well, we could be in Western New York, which, some people around here figure it out. They'll figure it out. If you haven't seen the latest, you had Mike Florio bitching about this on Pro Football Talk and all the NFL writers, Ian Rappaport, et cetera, saying, you know, Buffalo hasn't left Buffalo. Their airport still, as of right now, to my knowledge, isn't open. They're supposed to be in Detroit to play this game tomorrow against Cleveland. But they'll figure it out. They can't leave. There's too much snow. You can't move. That whole thing seems like a logistical nightmare. I'm fascinated by it. I can't help it. Like I am.
Are you one of those people who like watches the Weather Channel just to like see sort of how incapacitated and inconvenienced are people by Mother Nature?
Yes. Yeah. Jim Cantore, yes. However the hell you say his name. Yeah. I'm not like 24/7 like eyes glued to it, but I do find it fascinating. And maybe it's because I'm a child of the blizzard of 78, and it's kind of ingrained here, the panic, the paranoia that comes with snow. Got to go get the milk. You got to make sure you're all stocked up. Yeah, like that there's a residual after effect I got from my parents with that kind of thing, the blizzard of 78, so it's ingrained in me. And because I hate driving in snow, it's instilled in me, that paranoia. So I see what's going on in Buffalo and Western New York, and I find it fascinating and also terrifying. And they haven't left, Chris.
So how bad is it there? I mean, I know it's supposed to be 6 feet of snow, but is there any way they could, like, you know, how are the roads? Like, could they take a bus? Could they just bus
out? No, because
out of-
the roads are basically incapacitated as of right now. I've seen videos. Really? It's all over, you know, social media.
So how are they getting to the airport then?
I don't know. I guess they're going to have to pick up the players. From what I've seen, some people are saying they're going to have to pick up the players from their homes in snowmobiles and try to get them to a bus, and that bus has to try to get to the airport, which is now closed. They have to clear that airport and clear the runway so that they can get to Detroit. It sounds crazy. And, of course, now, like, the Bills are going to be at a disadvantage. And if you can't, and I'm not going to hide this, because I was rooting for the Bills last week, and it pissed me off that they ended up blowing that to the Vikings. Like, what pissed me off about that game last week, Chris, is, like, the false hope that came with that afterwards. I knew it. I came in our Monday, and Matt's just like, now, there's a chance for the Patriots to make the playoffs. Sure, it's a wild card. No, in the division. Oh, please stop. Like, that, I don't need that. Like, let's not. You know, I'll be like Red from Shawshank. Hope's a bad thing, actually. Like, let's not do this. The Patriots aren't winning the division. Mathematically, they're in it. Stop it. So are the Colts in the AFC South. But, like, please, like, use your eyes. They're not that good. They're not winning the division. Can they make the playoffs? Absolutely. If it ended right now, they'd be in it. But that Bills thing last week pissed me off. And I don't like the fact they haven't left Buffalo, because it puts them at a disadvantage tomorrow against Cleveland.
So I'll tell you this, and I've read some of this stuff. I sort of think, and I know it's a challenging situation, and the game got moved late. But I was stunned when Brandon Bean, the general manager of the Bills, was saying, like, well, no, we're just going to stay here and go to Detroit on, like, Saturday. And I was like, no, what are you doing?
Yeah, right.
You guys have to get out as quickly as you can. And he's like, well, you know, we thought logistically, and we were worried about guys setting up with their families and all this other stuff. He's like, no. When the NFL moved that game on Thursday,
You got to get out.
I mean, that's rule number one of anything like that. You have to get out. And they're like, whoa, we heard there's, like, a window, like, midday Saturday. No.
No, you don't wait. See, you have that kind of travel paranoia that I do.
I do.
You don't wait for the windows. You got to get out.
You go. go.
You go, and if it blows up in your face, so be it. But you got to get the hell out of Dodge. But overall, the trip was a good time? You just did the game, or were you down there for the whole weekend?
So I got down there Friday. So it was like a Friday night, game, tailgating Saturday, game Saturday, and then some after tailgating on Saturday and going out. It was fun. It was good.
Nice.
It's a good time down there. I actually would like to go back.
Yeah, that one I haven't done. So I'm doing, even though it's gonna basically put me in the poorhouse, Michigan, Ohio State a week from today.
That's exciting. I'm jealous. I'm jealous about that.
And then Brady and the Bucks at Cleveland. What's your Pats game you're doing this year? No. I am Tom over team. I'm going to see Brady and the Bucks beat Cleveland next Sunday and get themselves back in it. How sweet was that all? Do you kind of have a little bit of hope? Did you see that? Or you were away, but did you watch any of that game in Germany last week?
I didn't have a chance to see it. I actually was in the air. I was flying.
Oh, Chris. Oh, he had the look.
Did he?
It was the first time this year I was like, oh, I remember that guy. It's finally someone's been freed of a certain someone, the old ball and chain, or maybe he's just pissed because he's lost untold millions with that FTX scam. But he had the ass last week, and it was nice to see. They had that last-second win against the Rams, and then this win, which was against a really good team, that Seahawks team, which was one of the good stories this year. And it's like all of a sudden, okay, now they have a game lead in the NFC South. I think the team still blows, and that offensive line is Swiss cheese, but he looked like the actual Tom Brady last week, and that was nice to see.
Yeah, I saw some of the highlights. It seemed like they got the running game going a little bit, Rashad White, which is good. And if Julio Jones is healthy and they have a viable third option, then they have a chance. But let me just make sure I understand this just for all of our listeners out there. Patriots hope, bad. Buccaneers hope, sign you up.
Yeah, I need something. Like, I think this year sucked. Like, as a whole, the league is, like, blown this year, Chris. I think, you know, it's factually, scoring is down.
It is down. It's the lowest level since 2017.
You see a lot of bad quarterbacks, a ton of bad coaches. They're not losing me, but I'm extra pissed at the NFL this year. Like, the two best games you've got have featured the Bills last week, that yes. game against Minnesota, and then the game against Kansas City. Other than that, I think all these primetime games have sucked. Now the officiating is becoming a problem. If you watch that Eagles-Washington game on Monday night, so of course they were going to rear their ugly heads. But I just the product's down, and so there hasn't been a lot for me to get jazzed up about. I think outside of the zappy fever that we had for a couple of weeks, this Patriots season's been mostly a bore, and Brady and the Bucks have sucked. So yeah, I've watched with my arms extra crossed this year. But after that in Germany last week, I was like, oh, okay, maybe there's something for me to get into a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see where they go. I'm certainly they're in the right division. I mean, it's the polar opposite of the Patriots. The Patriots are in a division where everybody's in the playoffs right now. Everybody's a playoff caliber team. The Bucs are in a division where they're really the only playoff caliber team, and they're borderline at best. So it's sort of interesting. You know, this is what you get with realignment, where geography matters. And I've had this argument with years for Beadle until they went to the 14-team playoff, that this is why you needed to do 7 in each league, because you end up with certain divisions in certain years, and this year it's the NFC South, where it's like you're rewarding mediocrity by geography and giving a team basically a free playoff berth. It's like, hey, you're the best of these bad teams.
Yeah.
And then you look at, say, the NFC East, and they have, again, four teams that are, you know, probably at least, I think Washington's on the cusp of being playoff worthy, and they might not all get in. So, you know, it's really interesting. I'm obviously a little bit of an uphill climb for the Patriots. It's just a weird – the whole Patriots situation to me is just strange, because big picture, like you said, the season has been a disappointment. Mac Jones hasn't taken that leap. They've beaten pretty much nothing but bad teams, except for the Jets, but the Jets have a bad quarterback. They're in last place in the division, but they're in the playoffs. I don't know how to square all that. I don't know how to feel. There's a lot of ambivalence about the Patriots from my end.
Well, it's Homer Simpson's two favorite words, default, right? Like,
yes.
It's because the conference stinks. Like, that Chargers team, and now Justin Herbert, because he doesn't have the weapons that he has, and that team's all banged up, is now like the checkdown king of the NFL. And so, yeah, by default, they would be in right now as that 7 seed. Just quickly on Brady before we move
yes.
on to the Pats.
Yes.
The one thing that has arisen all of a sudden, because it seems like there's been this thaw between him and Bill, and Tom was at Robert Kraft's wedding recently. Yeah, he's coming back. He is a free agent. No, there's been the thaw. He's going to be with the Pats next year. Why? Why would he? Why? After they chose the coach over him, after Bill clearly wanted to be rid of him by the end, they don't deserve to be let off the hook for that, and most of you people don't deserve it based on how y'all turned on him since he left. And if he's still going to play, you go to a team that's stacked but a quarterback short, San Francisco.
San Francisco is the team.
Maybe the Jets. How about the Jets for a spining? Maybe Miami, but Tua is legitimately in the MVP conversation. So I don't think they'd change.
So I have to say, you know, you and I have been accused of being Brady, you know, Bobos. So this is something I think about I'm going to give you a little window into what it's like to be in the mind of one Chris Gasper. This is something I think about almost every day. Where's Tom Brady going to play next year? And I constantly have a running list of teams in my head.
The Raiders are on that list, too, but I hate
they
that
are.
Because that team's defense is wretched. And
they do that, have that, weapons when they're healthy, though.
Yeah.
The running Josh Jacobs is good. If you get Darren Waller healthy.
Adams is a stud.
He would love throwing to Hunter Renfro. He would unlock Hunter Renfro. They could be good, Josh. So they're on the list. This team that played on Thursday night that we're going to talk about a little bit later, they're on the list, Tennessee, especially if Treylon Burks turns out to be legit. And I also think Tom could play Pied Piper there and get a little more to Tennessee. The Jets are on the list. I have the Giants on the list as well because of Daboll and New York and being near his kid. I would say how about the Bucks are still kind of on the list. The Saints, for a real heel turn, would be on the list. And San Francisco's on the list, and that's my list right now. So there's about six or seven teams.
The Giants thing would be interesting, too, because, yeah, I can't see them extending Daniel Jones. I know he's had a good season, but that offense has been running through Saquon Barkley, who's, like, gone in the Wayback Machine this year, and they've been a good story. But you can't extend Daniel Jones. Get yourself a real quarterback. But on him coming back to the Pats, it ain't going to happen.
No, but Jimmy coming back could.
Great. Even more exciting.
You're not excited about that?
No.
I think there's a – and yeah, this is just opinion, speculation, not anything I've heard. But, like, I wouldn't be shocked next year if Mac Jones was the quarterback of the Las Vegas Raiders and Jimmy Garoppolo was the quarterback of the Patriots. Would that be shocking to you?
No. Shocking, no. Because, and I heard Breer talk about it and Bedard talk about it, too. That even though Derek Carr got that quote-unquote extension with Vegas this year, it's like kind of a poison pill for him in that, you know, they can get out from under that. There's not a lot of guaranteed money, and it's only like $5 million and change in terms of a cap hit if they let him go. So they can get out from under that, and he's going to be the scapegoat there because ownership's already said, look, we're tied up with this, and it seems like there's not a lot of cash flow there. They're hanging on to McDaniels and Ziegler next year. If anyone's going to fall, it's the quarterback. So, you know, I think there's a rapport there between Josh and Mac Jones, and if Mac Jones has a sucky second half, I could see them from, you know, saying, like, fine, give us a second rounder for him, and they'd trade for him. I could see that.
No, I mean, I could see it too, and I'll take it a step further. I could see Mac being like, come get me.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, he would want to.
Not even like the Patriots, like, we're done with you. I could see Mac, you know, going to Josh and Dave Ziegler and being like, hey, come get me.
Especially if these two gargoyles are still going to be running the offense next year and Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. Ugh, what this season, it's just, it is. It's crazy that this, as bad as this offense has looked, and that Colts game, were you gone by then?
No, nope, I covered that game. Ugh. I wrote off that game.
Ugh.
I
should have got time and a half for doing that post game that day. I knew it. Driving in, I'm like, yeah, I think we took three calls. Like, how do you walk away from that game being like, yay, they won? Great. Like, against a team that was like, I don't know, Melrose High out there. Like, I know the defense was decent, but the offense was wretched. And both offenses were wretched.
They were. Yeah. They were. No, I wrote they, like, set back offensive football to, like, the Mesozoic era. It was insane how bad it was. I mean, imagine thinking about the days of, like, Brady versus Manning, and now the rivalry's that.
Even when it was, why am I forgetting the kid that was
Andrew
Stanford?
Luck.
Andrew Luck. Yeah, thank you. I mean, there were some exciting matchups between the Patriots and Colts for years and years, and that's what we got in their last game. So hopefully it looks a little bit better, but I don't know how you can feel that great about it and how the hell they can fix it that quickly. Everything that they focused on over the last handful of months, starting with the offseason, this is why the offense looks bad. This is why no one should be shocked by this because Matt Patricia and Joe Judge have installed this. Matt Patricia, obviously, is the one that's leading this and playing the play caller, but they're going to fix this in a week's time, Chris? Like, okay, maybe they trash some things, but I don't think it's going to look all that different tomorrow.
I mean, they have fixed offenses on the fly in the past, not these two guys, and obviously not this quarterback. But, I mean, I have seen the Patriots do it in the past where the offense doesn't look great. It happened in 2014, right? So they have fixed offenses on the fly in the past. I don't know if they can do it with this coaching staff or this quarterback, but there are track records there. Look, we saw what this quarterback was able to do last year. It was pretty good, especially for a rookie. He certainly was better than this.
Yeah.
I mean, he's now fallen into a situation, and this is mind-numbing to me, where it's a legitimate debate as to which quarterback is going to do the least harm to their team tomorrow, Zach Wilson or Mac Jones. I mean, that's insane. That nothing to me tells you sort of what, from a big picture standpoint, regardless of the record, which is good, 5-4 is good, being in the playoffs, that's good. But big picture standpoint of getting back to competing for Super Bowls, nothing tells you how off the rails this season has gone for the Patriots than the fact that we're having a discussion about which of these quarterbacks quarterbacks, Zach Wilson or Mac Jones, is more likely to make massive mistakes to hurt their team tomorrow.
All right, we'll further explore that, and I'll ask the simple question. Are we actually going to get a game tomorrow, or are the Jets going to end up tripping over their own hogs like I think they're going to? Like a lot of people jazzed up for this tomorrow, and obviously it's a big game in terms of the AFC East and playoff positioning, but for me, quickly, I just think the Jets are going to do Jets things and get in their own way, and that starts with their idiot quarterback. We'll get to that coming up if you want to join us, 617-779-0985. Gasper Murray, we're actually here today on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
That's an aberration, which I freely admit.
It's Gasper and Murray.
I'm drunk, you're gross, let's go.
98.5, The Sports Hub. This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
And Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Zach, you had the game a couple weeks ago against us. So you guys had an opportunity to buy in between. But when you looked at the schedule, that game obviously didn't go the way you want. You saw you did have them, though, too, 3 weeks, something like that.
Right.
Part of you, like, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, excited because it's another challenge. And, this is a big divisional game for us, obviously. So not necessarily to feel like I got to prove anything of last game didn't go great, I got to do something different this time. But, just the progress of we won a big game last week and it's on to the next, and this is our next challenge. These guys are a great team. They do a great job defensively. So, I am looking at it that way. I'm super excited for this game.
Yeah, until you throw your first pick of what I'm sure will be two or three on the day. That's Jets quarterback Zach Wilson, at least sounding confident ahead of tomorrow's big AFC East tilt. Jets at Patriots will kick off at 1 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Gasper and Murray. I just think this kid's a dope, Chris, and his irrational overconfidence bothers me, and I think you see that with his play on the field. I mean, those three interceptions in that last game are as bad as you'll ever see, and it comes from the cockiness of that, well, I got the big arm. There's this, a caller might have mentioned it, or maybe someone has said it on one of these shows, but I think it's a good comp. It's like, it's Favre-ian at its worst. You know, Brett Favre, were like, well, I'm the gunslinger. I'm going to make a play. Like, kid, you haven't done anything. And this team and the Jets' record, and the reason they're ahead of the Patriots right now, is more about their defense than anything else. The reason they beat the Bills, they only had them throw like 23 times. And if they're going to walk in here and this is going to be a game tomorrow, that has to be the same game plan. And I know, the Patriots' run defense have been a bit better than the Bills, but they have to focus on the run and just basically have spent this bye week strapping this kid into a chair, Clockwork Orange style, and just saying, like, 22 times tops, that's it. And if you need to throw it out of bounds, throw it out of bounds, you moron. Don't try to make a play. I just don't see that happening, though, because it's irrational overconfidence that goes into cockiness that costs him.
Yeah, I think you've described him perfectly, Jim. It is irrational overconfidence. So you wonder where it comes from. I'm actually sort of jealous. I wish I had one iota of the level of confidence this kid has. It must be nice, going through life completely oblivious basically to who and what you really are and what the consequences of your actions really are. That must be a blissful existence. The one thing I'd say, I agree with everything you said about Zach Wilson. I'm not a fan, but I will play sort of devil's advocate here in this regard with this game tomorrow. One, there was a time when they used to make Josh Allen look this bad and inept,
yeah,
right? And I don't think this kid's Josh Allen. I don't think he ever will be. But I guess my point is, I don't think you can count on this level of ineptitude from him forever. He's 0-3 against you with 7 sacks and 7 interceptions. At some point, he's going to be able to moderate that some point, you would think, or he'll just be out of the league. And I think the other part of it, when you look at it with Zach Wilson, again, like I said, he's not Josh Allen. He's not Josh Allen by any means, but he does have an ability to run the football. And now that knee is healed, and you saw it a little bit against the Bills last week, not a ton, but a little bit, 5 rushes for 24 yards, 13-yard rush. He can sort of get out of trouble with his legs. That's something that has given the Patriots trouble this year, and it's something he really couldn't do earlier in the season or even in the first matchup. So if the Jets just sort of coach him, hey, Zach, when you get outside the pocket and roll to your right, because you always roll to your right, predictably. You don't have to throw it. You don't even have to throw it out of bounds. Why don't you just tuck it and run and see if you can pick up 5 yards?
Yeah, it feels, I mean, that should be part of his game, whether he just doesn't trust it because of the injury or they don't trust him. I don't know why they don't focus on that more.
I think they don't want him to get hurt. He started out hurt, obviously, yeah. And it was a knee injury. And then I think they don't want him to get hurt. He's kind of a slender kid. I don't think he can take a ton of hits. And maybe you won't see a bunch of design runs, but he has wheels. Like last year he had a 52-yard run. He can get out there and make something happen with his legs. So I think that's something that maybe you'll see more of in this game instead of him just chucking it up.
You mentioned some of the stats, the 7 interceptions, 0-3 against the Patriots. But overall, he's the worst quarterback under pressure in the NFL, reading from Dov Kleeman here on Twitter. And it's not particularly close. Again, the Jets are winning, but the quarterback position is not helping. So he's facing a Patriots defense ranked 3rd in pressure percentage tomorrow. And his QBR against pressure, 1.0, dead last in the league. Completion percentage, 16%, dead last in the league. Touchdown interception ratio, no touchdowns, 4 picks, tied for last in the league. He can't face pressure. Not that Mac Jones is that great with it either, but this kid, like, he becomes a complete puddle when it happens. And with that pass rush, you know, that you're going to get, and Matt Judon tomorrow in his face, more bad's going to happen to the Jets. It's why, like, this would be competitive because I don't trust the Patriots offense, and that Jets defense is absolutely legit. But they're getting David Andrews back, so that's going to stabilize the offensive line a little bit. But I think, at the very least, I would take the under tomorrow. I think we'll get a game, but the mistakes will happen because of Zach Wilson and the Jets, and that's why the Patriots, I think, walk out with a win tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, this sort of sets up pretty well for the Patriots from the standpoint of, when you look at it, their offense right now, they need good field position and shorter fields to be able to score. And when you can turn the football over and we have a quarterback who turns it over, you're going to get some of those opportunities. What's interesting about these two teams is they're somewhat similar, right? So here's a stat that I found interesting. Average yards to go on second down, which means what happens on first down? Are you facing a lot of second and longs? The Patriots, 27th in the NFL in average yards to go on second down at 8.04. Right behind them at 28th, the Jets, 8.09. So I think, again, when you talk about these quarterbacks being similar this season, and really actually similar in some ways now at this point in their career, as I mentioned on Felger and Maz, interception percentage for these two guys, it's 2.9% for both Mac Jones and Zach Wilson. And you say, oh, 2.9%, that doesn't sound that bad. Well, when you go back and look at it since the start of the 2021 season, that is really up there in the NFL. You're up there with people like Jameis Winston and Baker Mayfield. It's tied for the 7th highest. So I think that when you sort of look at those two things and these two offenses, it's which one of these offenses and these teams can do the most to help out their quarterback and avoid them making crunching and crushing mistakes.
Do you rethink that whole quarterback class last year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like who would you take first now if it was up to you?
I probably still would take Trevor Lawrence. I think in the right situation, I still think he has the highest upside. But last year it was a real debate. About, and I still said Trevor Lawrence last year, but it was a real debate, and I understood and respected people who said, well, what about Mac Jones? I was like, yeah, I see it. I see what you're saying. Maybe Mac Jones is the guy you would take. Now that quarterback class looks entirely different. I mean, wouldn't you go like Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields? And I've never liked Justin Fields, but I mean, I got to give it to the kid. He still makes a ton of mistakes. His interception percentage, by the way, is the highest in the league since 2021, 3.6. But at least he's exciting.
Yeah. No, he's like a... There's like a Steve McNair aspect to his game. I liked him coming out anyway. At the time, I was hoping the Patriots would move up and get him. But up until, you know, this little stretch, which they haven't really been winning, but he's looked better. It's like, okay, maybe the Bears actually have something here with Justin Fields. I'd probably go him over Lawrence. Have you watched some? Did you watch that London game with Trevor Lawrence? Ugh. And now he has a better offensive-minded coach in Surfer Dad Doug Peterson. Like, I don't know, man. Like, he seems sped up and kind of like, I think they all might stink, Chris.
Really?
Yeah.
I will say, I mean, when I watch Trevor Lawrence, there is like a Bledsoe factor there.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, you've made that mistake 7 times before. And how are you making that same mistake again?
Right. It's a lot of that. That's the perfect way to. Yeah. That's what I've seen when I've watched him. Like, oh no. Oh, how did you ruin this guy? Like, he was like a lock like Luck or Peyton Manning. And. Oh, they've Jacksonville Jaguared him or something. Like,
well,
oh, boy.
I will say, Burt Breer told me this, so I don't want to take credit for this information, but Burt Breer and I were talking about this, and there's a school of thought that some NFL scouts have that Clemson's offense is overly simplistic and that maybe it propped him up. Now, look, again, the counter to that would be Deshaun Watson, who went into Houston, ran a Bill O'Brien Patriot-style offense that's pretty complicated, and figured it out. So that would be the counter to say you can't blame the offense he ran in college. But there is a school of thought that maybe that offense he ran in college was so simple that it was able to sort of disguise the fact that his processing power as a passer might not be as high as you would think for somebody who was, you know, tabbed to be a number one pick.
Well, one of the keys to tomorrow's game for the Patriots is a player that Gasper and a certain video game they agree on. I'll explain that and your calls, 617-779-0985. Coming up next here on Gasper and Murray.
This is Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Chris Gasper and Big Jim Murray.
Give me fuel, give me fire. Give me that which I desire.
It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, you mentioned late in the summer that you felt the team was as healthy as it's ever been at that point. How healthy is the team now relative to past years as you see it?
You get to the middle of the season, nobody's 100% healthy. Everybody's kind of banged up and all that, but we got a lot of guys out there, a couple of guys dealing with things, but overall, not bad.
Yeah, Patriots pretty healthy coming out of the bye. Ahead of tomorrow's game against the New York Jets, both teams coming out of the bye. But some things to keep an eye on in terms of injury for these teams. So Corey Davis, you would think, would have had time to heal up that MCL in his knee. I think he's important for that Jets offense. He ain't playing. And he's felt to me, just from the bit that I've watched of the Jets this year, Chris, like kind of like a safety valve for that dunce Zach Wilson, so he ain't going to be out there.
Yeah, I think that's big.
And for the Patriots, Christian Barmore went from, reading from some of the beat reporters, Mark Daniels specifically said he talked to Christian Barmore, midweek. He's like, yeah, I'm on track to play. And then the last injury report of the week came out yesterday, and Barmore was listed as doubtful. And then in like 30 seconds, they're like, nah, he's out. And then, like, 2 minutes after that, he's on injured reserve. So you're not going to see him until the Vegas game at the earliest. So he's out. And now they have an issue with the punter. So we'll get to that in a bit. And that Jake Bailey, who has sucked this year, is doubtful with a back injury. So you could get Michael Pilardi, who? Coming off the practice squad. But I do want to touch on this because I think it's your last column for the Boston Globe. You and the Madden video game are in agreement on a certain player on the Patriots who's been a big factor. He's been their best player this year. And that is Matthew Judon. Madden bumped him up in their update this week to a 99, the coveted 99. The players,
yeah.
It's very important to the players to get that 99. So Matthew Judon ranked a 99. And you write, and I think this is bold for one Christopher L. Gasper of the Boston Globe, Matthew Judon is the best free agent signing of the Bill Belichick Patriot era.
Yes.
So I saw that headline. I was like, that seems clickbaity. Good for you. But I was like, well, wait a minute. What about Rodney Harrison? Like, Rodney Harrison, now granted, I am stuck in the past.
Yes.
I now embrace that. But to me, Rodney Harrison is the greatest free agent signing of the Bill Belichick era. I thought maybe, I'm like, Chris is talking about the last, like, 10 years or so.
No.
Right? No, wrong. You think it's Matthew Judon.
I think it's Judon. In a vacuum, it's Judon. When you look at the bang for the buck, I mean, look at what pass rushers are getting nowadays. What's the top of the market for pass rushers? Guys like Aaron Donald. Bradley Chubb just got a $20 million extension.
With Miami.
Miami. Judon makes $13.625 is the AAV. He he's leading league in sacks this year. The record for anybody under Belichick with the Patriots in terms of most sacks in the season is 12.5. He had that last year, and I know he struggled down the stretch in terms of injuries and COVID, but he already has that last year. It looks like he's going to obliterate that. And he's their best player, and he impacts the game so much. He's arguably one of the best pass rushers, if not the best, in the NFL right now. His teammates talk about that. Adrian Phillips in the story is saying, like, I don't know why people aren't talking about him like this. So it's not Matthew Judon's fault that he didn't show up here when Brady was still the quarterback or the defense was stacked with guys like Richard Seymour, Ty Law, Teddy Bruschi, Mike Vrabel, Roman Pfeiffer. That's not his fault. that he showed up at a different era in Patriots history. My contenders in this were, and Rodney was my number two. I basically said it was like the Georgia Senate race. It was a runoff between Judon and Rodney in the end, and I went with Judon. But my contenders overall were Judon, Rodney, Mike Vrabel, who I love, both as a player and a coach, and then, you know, Steph Gilmore. And I can see people that disagree with me with Judon. I can totally see the validity of disagreeing. But I just feel like Judon is not getting the credit he deserves, and I think both Judon and I feel validated by that 99 from Madden.
Yeah, no, it's good timing. You make a strong case. Again, I'm still stuck in the past, and I just feel like this is Chris with recency bias, but he has been an asses-in-seats type of player for the Patriots this year, no doubt about it. He is their best player. I'm glad you really didn't have Welker on there either. Yeah, what about Welker? How about catch that pass in Indianapolis?
Well, he was a trade, technically. I mean, honestly, so yeah, I'm going to be honest. True, yeah. I think if Welker hadn't been a trade, then I wouldn't have written this column because I think it would have been Welker.
Ugh. Make a catch in a big game. Bum.
You're not bitter at all.
Oh, he's so overrated.
You're not bitter at all. And my other thing on Rodney, and I love Rodney, I do, but I didn't even mention this in the story, you know, the steroid thing, and talk about make a play in a big game. Why don't you get the ball away from David Tyree? How about that? Why don't you do that?
That's fair.
Is that a fair
yeah,
point?
Yeah.
Why don't you get
annoyingly fair.
And the other thing, and I'm not discrediting, you know, Rodney at all, because I love the guy, but he showed up here, definitely a tone setter, great player, put that defense over the top, but put it over the top. I mean, that's a defense that already had core guys who had won, you know, a Super Bowl, right? And guys on that defense who were going into the Hall of Fame, other than Devin McCourty, is there a guy on the Patriots defense now when Judon showed up who has a chance to go into the Hall of Fame?
No, it's a good point. There isn't.
And I love Devin. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
He's a Pats Hall of Famer, but I don't
absolutely.
Think he's a
but he's probably like a borderline Hall of Famer, you know, for Pro Football Hall of Fame. So again, the impetus of the piece is sort of like, hey, I know this is a different era of Patriot football, but like you can't hold that. Like you wouldn't be like, oh, you know, and I know this guy didn't win Super Bowls, obviously, but you wouldn't be like, if Logan Mankins had won Super Bowls here, you wouldn't be like, oh, Logan Mankins is better than John Hanna. It's not John Hanna's fault that he played in that era of Patriots football.
Tommy and Lynn, first up here on Gaspar Murray this morning. Hello, Tommy.
What's up, guys? What's up, Murray? What's up, Gaspar? This is what I got to say about the Patriots. In the past couple years after a bye week without Brady, they are 6-11. And they've got to win tomorrow. Must win game and to keep up with the division. They got to go come in the playoffs, and they got to be in an 8-9 team or a 9-8 team. I could see this team making the playoffs and doing something. I don't know what. They're going to probably mess up, though, in the playoffs. I want to hear you guys' opinions. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, he's right to bring up this without Brady post-bye Belichick record. And we all know what happened last year where they went from, you know, the 7-game winning streak and, you know, national prognosticators and even locally, even I was like, holy crap, they're back. And then the whole thing went to hell. And what is that, Chris? Like, is it they're getting exposed because the roster's not deep enough? Other teams are better? Is it a lack of belief? Like, what's happened here? And why are people, you know, they're looking at this with some trepidation? I think rightfully so, starting with this game tomorrow.
I think the common thread between last year and this year is that the quality of competition was a factor. And when the quality of competition improved, the Patriots did not. They went in the other direction. And I think that's the concern right now. That's what happened last year. And you look at what the schedule is after the bye, particularly after this Jets game. It's the Vikings. Two games you have against the Bills. Joe Burrow comes here on December 24th. You have to face them. That's another playoff contender and a good quarterback. Tua, unless Tua is a mirage, looks like that's legit. And even if he is a mirage, he's beaten you every time he's played you. So you have to do that game. Las Vegas obviously is a dumpster fire, but you look at how past Patriot coaches have done against Bill Belichick. It's pretty good, including Matt Patricia, who won when he was in Detroit, and that was a dumpster fire, went and beat the Patriots. So the schedule obviously gets a lot more difficult. I mean, Arizona, I think they should win that game. That's the only one on the schedule I look at where I'm really like, they should win this.
Have you watched any of these Hard Knocks episodes?
No.
With them? Oh, Chris, you do yourself a favor and watch them. You'll feel even worse about that Arizona Cardinals organization. That Cliff Kingsbury, what a doofus. Wow. I can't believe they gave that
Coach Hansom, as they call him.
Ugh. He has no control and no respect in that locker room. And outside of Buda Baker, who's a stud, you'll look at that team and be like, these guys are all a-holes. And that starts with the quarterback, too. You'll understand why they gave him that contract. They're like, hey, enough video games. And can you stop being a pouty baby? Oh, I think so less. Because when he's on,
he's great.
Blast to watch. Little water bug. Love a water bug player. He's like Darren Sproles with an arm. Love to watch him. But now, ugh. Oh, his attitude and body language, that doofus coach. Wow, what a mess they are. Mess. So, yeah, that's a win for the Pets.
Good. But overall, I think the schedule's difficult, and I think this is where the rubber meets the road. Honestly, do you think there's anything from the Patriots to this point, other than Mac Jones struggling, that's really that much of a surprise? The first four games, we knew the schedule was tough. They went 1-3. Then we knew that the schedule got a lot easier for them.
The Bears was a shocker.
That's true. They won 4 of 5. So maybe the 4 they won were a shock, and I thought they'd win all 5. But if you had said, like, hey, look at the Patriots schedule, they're going to go 1-3 in the first 4, and then 4-1 in the next 5, like, would you have been surprised?
No. But still, that Bears won. And how they got waxed was like, oh, my God, they might really stink. And then, you know, they had the zappy thing. That was fun. And that was a bit of a shock.
Are you going to try and bring that back? Is that fully dead?
Is that
like the count dead, or is that maybe could be rekindled?
I know what you're talking about. No, that could be rekindled. Because if Mac Jones blows or if he gets hurt, like, no, we'll get the fever again. And we all get fevers when the wintertime comes, right? Huh? I think it could still happen. Long commercial-free segment coming up next, along with your phone calls. We'll segue into the Sports Hub Celtics show at noon as that team keeps winning. And also, if you don't want to trust the prognosticators, you don't want to trust us with the prediction for tomorrow's game, what you need to trust is the coin. A coin, that's right. I'll explain with your phone calls next.
Chris Gasper, Big Jim Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sounds like fact, not opinion to me.
This is Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Long commercial-free segment here. Gasper and Murray will segue into the Sports Hub Celtics show coming up in just about 8 minutes. As that team just can't lose. Win again in New Orleans last night. But in the meantime, mentioned this before the break. You don't have to trust prognosticators, Gasper, myself, anyone else talking about this game. Who do you think is going to win? What you need to trust is the coin. Reading here from njonlinegambling.com. Very reputable. But this is true. NewJerseyOnlineGambling.com. They write, all hail the coin, which is correctly predicted every Jets game. And if you've listened to the coin, a $100 bet, Chris, rolled over, you would have yielded nearly $200,000 so far this season. They say a 1994 quarter predicting the outcomes of all the Jets games this season hasn't been wrong yet. J-E-T-S, Jets. Yes, that's right. The coin. Different coin, different team, same result so far. It's like a movie sequel. There was a last year's coin apparently involved the Las Vegas Raiders in which a Reddit user flipped a coin before the season, predicted the Raiders' fortunes. It went 10-0 to start the year. This particular website, gambling website, wrote about it. And once they wrote about it, it went kaput. But this year, Alex Noon of Long Island flipped a 1994 quarter before the season started. Before then, it was not a magical coin. Said it was the first one I picked up after I flipped it, posted the results on Twitter. I decided to save it. It's right there next to my bed. You can follow him on Twitter at Nooner Nation. And this has become such a thing that The Athletic has decided to have him come out and like flip a coin for some of the games that they just wanted him to predict. And the coin went 3-0. So it's this magic coin. And so this is a long way maybe saying, like, what did this predict for tomorrow? Because this kid even nailed the Jets game against the Bills last week, the improbable or before the bye week, the 20-17 win over Buffalo. This coin got it right, Chris. So what does he predict for tomorrow? Patriots win. But he does have the Jets ultimately going 11-6 after they lose tomorrow. They basically win out except for one of the last games of the year at Miami. They finish 11-6. And they lose in the AFC Championship game is what this coin predicts. But they do lose tomorrow if the coin is to be trusted. So don't listen to us. Listen to the coin. Pats win.
This reminds me of that Simpsons episode. I'm like, Dad, you're blocking my view of the coin.
Oh, yeah.
In coin we trust.
Yeah, in rod we trust. Right.
Is this coin going to be on the cover of Time magazine?
It should be, especially if it gets it right tomorrow. But the coin probably knows. You know why the Jets lose? Because Zach Wilson's a dunce. Really, that's what it's going to come down to tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get a competitive game, Chris, but there is a, like, over-under. Will Zach Wilson throw two interceptions? I would take the over. Like, one is going to happen. They're going to force him into an idiotic throw.
Well, they are. And here's the other thing, too. I just sort of scoffed about his attitude all week and Robert Saleh saying, like, oh, we're holding. He literally said, you know, he used the words holding hostage. You know, we're holding someone hostage in their career over four or five plays. I mean, that's not accurate at all. But the reality is, like, they're like, well, you know, he played a clean game against Buffalo. Did you see that strip sack he had on third down in the red zone that took points off the board in the third quarter?
Yeah.
Like, for this kid, a clean game constitutes one turnover. It's incredible to me. Like, it's classic Jets. It's sort of classic NFL coach speak, too. If somebody can't reach the bar, you just lower it for them.
617-779-0985. Your thoughts on tomorrow's game. Jason in the car next year on Gaspar Murray. Hello, Jason.
Hey, guys. Great show. Chris, I know you said in the past, just another guy in reference to, like, Kirk Cousins and whatnot. And I kind of look at quarterbacks in kind of three tiers. The tiers like Mahomes and Allen can elevate everyone around them. And I think Mac, I don't know if this can happen or not, but he's in that tier that if you surround him with a lot of weapons, like a Jalen Hurts or a Tua or Kirk Cousins, he might be able to elevate the team based on that. And then there's obviously the third tier where they just can't reach any kind of adequate level. So I just think you look at Aaron Rodgers, Justin Herbert, they lose their weapons. They're not the same quarterback. Mac is surrounded by, I would say, bottom 10 wide receiver tight end. So just curious your guys' thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree generally. You know, I think I'd still put Rodgers in that category. I know it hasn't gone well this year. You know, he's older, obviously. Yeah, there's a little decline, and he hasn't clicked with those receivers. I also think the defensive coordinator is a boob, Joe Barry. So I think that's part of it, too. But yeah, I mean, that was sort of my point on Mac last year to a large degree, that a lot of it's about what is around him. The one thing I would dispute there, though, in what he said is like, oh, well, if you give him the talent, then he can elevate the team. That's not elevating the team. If I'm giving you the talent, you're being elevated by the talent.
Yeah.
You can't say, I can't give you all the talent that, like, Miami gave to Tua, and then after the fact say, wow, Tua's elevating the Dolphins. It's like, yeah, Tua's playing better, and that's helping them. But what it's sort of chicken and the egg, but in this case, we know the answer. The answer is the receivers came first, and then Tua's play got better. It's not like Tua's play got better, and then Miami got better.
Yeah, that's the way I look at it. And that's why I ultimately really don't believe at the end of the day, like, Miami or even the Vikings are going to be there at the end, you know? Like, they've had awesome seasons, but, you know, look what Hill has done to that offense in Miami and what Justin Jefferson means to Kirk Cousins, who I think is kind of a stiff. So,
how dare you?
It's, you know, like, okay. Like, they've had great seasons thus far, but I don't think that they're true championship-caliber teams because ultimately the quarterbacks are going to let them down.
Well, here's the thing. I think there's a large group of quarterbacks who fit into that category of when the team around them is built a certain way, they can look pretty good. I think Cousins is at the higher end of that, but, you know, that's guys like Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo, Tua Tagovailoa. Even, and I think you know how I feel about this guy, I think he stinks, but Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
Like, I had this thought the other day watching Thursday Night Football. Right now, if you had to win a game, who would you rather have, Ryan Tannehill or Mac Jones?
Oh, God.
I know. And I hate Ryan Tannehill. And even I had to pause.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, what a coin flip a suck that is. I guess Tannehill because of the experience. I guess.
I'm still not sure.
What a horrible Sophie's
choice. I'm just going to Felger facilitate on that one. Yeah. I'm not even going to give you an answer. But the fact that we have to, like, pause and think about it, I mean, that sort of tells you where the Patriots are at and where Mac Jones is at.
Now I got to see. Fourth quarter comebacks.
By the way, did you see that interception Tannehill threw?
Oh, it was
so classic. Chris,
watching that game, I'm like, he's going to have one that's going to be. And then sure enough, like, it was the microcosm of Ryan Tannehill. Like, oh, he's looked good so far. Maybe he's not up. Oh, there it is.
Yep. Oh, totally. I was laughing. And then also it was great where you could tell, like, Al Michaels was like, oh, Herb Street, you haven't seen a lot of Tannehill in the NFL, have you, huh? Because he was just talking him up like crazy right before that pick.
So they say since week 7 of 19, Ryan Tannehill has 9 fourth quarter comebacks. That seems high.
It does.
But that's from ESPN Stats and Info. Mac Jones doesn't have that.
But look at that.
Mac Jones always plays with a lead.
Yeah. Oh,
God, I
don't know.
I can't stand either of them.
I'm not going to give you an answer on this. I'll just say I'm leaning Mac, and I'll tell you why.
Well, you really hate Tannehill, though.
I do. My hatred for him is probably irrational. But how about that playoff game last year against Cincinnati? Talk about literally throwing away a game. I don't think I can ever get over that.
Did he have four picks that game?
It was three or four.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
That was so bad. I don't think I can ever unsee that.
Like, if you're, like, because they have some studs on that, on the defensive side of the ball. If, like, you're Byard, the safety, who I think is awesome. Like, how do you not take your helmet off and smack him across the head? Like, in that game last year, like, thanks, dick. Like, we were the number one seed. You're the reason we lost.
Literally. No, he literally, yeah. I mean, he's Zach Wilson that game.
All right, well, it's time to actually talk about a team you really can feel good about, and that is your Boston Celtics, who can't lose. It's time for the Sports Hub Celtics Show after the headlines. Next, here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.